Last week, we had Katie Ginsburg and Scott Beall and a bunch of kids doing something incredible for the environment. We had a big expo over the weekend. We promised we would check back in with them to find out how it went. And we will do that next, Coast to Coast, with me, Jesse Dillon, dialed into The Good Life at Lyme. Healthy living with a twist.
Welcome to The Good Life, health, fitness, nutrition, and vital living. Here's your host, Jesse Dillon.
Actually, I'm not allowed out of the Lyme studios anymore.
I can tell.
They found out I was bad for business. I truly do have a face for radio, and they won't let me out of the executive Lyme offices here atop the giant Lyme in the sky at 40th in Midtown Manhattan.
Well, that's okay, because everybody enjoys listening to you. So stay there.
Scott Beall has also joined us. Katie Ginsburg, of course, is the executive director of Students for a Sustainable Future. That was the name of the expo, and of course, the organization itself, Children's Environmental Literacy Foundation. And we have Teacher Beall. Scott Beall has joined us. Scott, how are you?
Great, Jesse. Great to be back. How are you doing?
It was just wonderful. Thank you. We promised we would have you back to do a follow-up to the expo. You had some great students with you last week, by the way.
Aren't they amazing?
They really are.
And that was just one little tip of the whole army of kids that have been turning into consultants for environmental work and sustainability in our community. As I was mentioning last time, we have the program here in Enrichment called Do Right Enterprises, and it's a simulated type of consulting firm for them where they become active leaders in the community by calling on businesses and setting up appointments to do a sustainability assessments. And we've called on probably over 40 businesses right here in Brewster, of just, you know, smaller, even delis, dry cleaners, the whole thing. And they go into a business, they'll go down a 7-point checklist of all sorts of dimensions of their business, from energy, from the procurement policies of products, waste management dimensions of the business, landscaping chemicals, cleaning chemicals, and green building features. And they'll measure all sorts of aspects, take it back to the classroom, do some analysis, some mathematics, extrapolate out on some projected savings, both in the environment as well as in their pocketbook, if they make a certain number of changes that the students recommend. So they send back a letter with the recommendations, and it's just been a phenomenal project for the kids and for the community and bringing everyone together.
This is somewhat of a rhetorical question, but with respect to Children's Environmental Literacy Foundation, and I want to give the website again, CEL Foundation, CELFoundation.org. My rhetorical question is, how important is it, Scott and Katie, that we begin these programs, these grassroots sustainable programs for a sustainable future in the schools?
Wow. Can I take a piece of that?
Go for it.
You know, one of the struggles we have in our society with this topic is a mindset that something's not really broken until you see it happening. And it's kind of, as in the medical profession, you know, if you're feeling the symptoms, it's already too late. And that's one of the issues we have. Young people are searching for a sense of meaning. They have their entire future ahead of them. And when the adult community sees a young person taking thoughtful, well-disciplined, well-planned out, methodical action for their future, it is endearing and enlightening. And when my kids leave the classroom to go out and do this little consulting work, I shouldn't say little by any means, is that I tell them, which is absolutely true, they know more about this topic than most of the adults in the world. There was a recent Roper study. 90% of adults can't pass a basic quiz on energy concepts, how we use it, where it comes from, and the extent of the supply. And these children, or I shouldn't say children, young adults, become experts, and it's empowering to them. And I think they have a more powerful voice in this process toward two things: convincing the adult population to wake up, And also the simple fact that they are the problem solvers of the future. They are simply inheriting the power position. So you generate that mindset and that sense of awareness of interconnectedness of everything, and that parlays right into the next generation of problem solvers, which we really desperately need in this area.
Well, it's an interesting comment you make, Scott. We have a propensity as a society here in America to believe the old adage, it's not broken until we see it broken.
Right.
Let's take a look at some news today. The world-renowned Sierra Club today in the Journal of Science, very respectable publication, will start showing new maps of the world, similar to the ones that we saw in Vanity Fair, the last month's publication, The Green Issue, similar to maps of Manhattan submerged underwater. Sierra Club is announcing new global warming trends, and they'll be having some maps done and doctored up about what's going to happen in 5 years and 10 years. There's irrefutable proof among the scientific community now. Even the Bush administration's own scientific panel is releasing new information that, yes, global warming is here. It's happening much faster than we thought. Yet people like George Bush are standing there with their hands in the Hudson River trying to stop the tide, saying everything is absolutely fine. Why don't people believe me?
Right.
And that, I know it's a bit of a long-winded diatribe, Scott, but it goes back to your saying, until we actually see the water rising up the high rises, we don't believe there's a problem with global warming.
That's right.
At which point it could be too late.
At which point it could be. And if I could say one other piece regarding our efforts with young people and our efforts with schools themselves, is that one of the challenges, and that's what we're kind of getting at here, is the mental model of the institutions themselves. So young people learn, and just about any experienced educator will agree with this, probably more from what's called the hidden curriculum in the modeling of the institutions that they're immersed in and the adults that they work with. And when a school system itself does not practice sustainable actions, the students question the validity. As well,
Scott,
as
I wonder if you can hang on to that. I hate to interrupt and be rude, but I'm going to have to because we have to go to a break. Can I keep you guys a few more minutes to close on the subject?
No problem. I got plenty of time.
Katie Ginsburg, Scott Beal, Children's Environmental Literacy Foundation, CELFoundation.org. We will be right back, and you can help when we return on The Good Life.
Welcome to The Good Life, health, fitness, nutrition, and vital living. Here's your host, Jesse Dillon.
Last weekend, as far as we know, the world's first Students for a Sustainable Future Expo took place in and around New York. The people that put that on, Children's Environmental Literacy Foundation, or CEL, foundation.org is the website. I have Executive Director Katie Ginsburg on with me and Scott Beal, who is a teacher. And Scott, before the break, you were filling us in on something that I had to cut you off of. I wonder if you could pick it up.
Yeah, essentially, well, there's a lot of aspects that we work in terms of promoting this concept in schools. But one big area that anyone who's listening can consider is that one thing I was mentioning is that students learn more from their what we call hidden curriculum and what adults are modeling and what the institution is modeling. If the institution is not embracing a responsible behavior in terms of energy use and waste management, then students really question what a given teacher might be talking about. But another big piece is that across this country, schools are really attacking or really embracing, I should say, character education, respect, responsibility, and caring. And it's through this venue that sustainability education can really make a huge effect in that most schools talk about respect and responsibility and caring for a given child in a given setting. All you have to do is change that to respect and responsibility and caring for the next group of families and students who will come and be part of your community. And then you immediately change that mindset that we've been stuck in to start asking the question about stewardship, and that our ultimate goal is to be stewards of what we have for the next generation, something along the lines of the Native American idea. So that's sort of a lofty idea, but it's something that every school shares that can be changed a little bit and can make a huge difference in the mindset of young people as they come up through elementary grades.
Well, Scott, it's a lofty idea, but where the rubber hits the road, you're talking about it today, coast to coast, reaching almost 5 million listeners on Sirius 114 at Lime.com, which is all about sustainability. You put on the expo this weekend. You are a beacon in the lighthouse, attracting others to the project. And the question I have for you, Katie Ginsburg, how can we help? What do you need from us?
Well, you know, some of the corporations that were participants in this past week's expo are reflective of many of the companies and businesses who are moving toward sustainability in their own way and who are incredibly interested in learning more about opportunities to educate the next generations, because they understand even more so than many individuals on the street how sustainability impacts their future in terms of their business and their success. And they understand that as each year goes by, it will become the individuals and the organizations that demonstrates the most efficient and responsible use of resources that are going to gain a competitive advantage. But beyond that, and in a bigger, more holistic sense, those will be the people who become the global citizens with a common purpose of sustaining the prosperity and health of our communities. And it's those people who will be the most employable and the most successful. And so corporations see that supporting our work leads to great potential for them and society, and they've been incredibly supportive of the work that we've been doing through their involvement with the expo and in some of the other programs that we have. Other foundations, too, are like-minded and have similar missions in bringing education to a new level and bringing sustainability to the forefront of what we are engaging our children in learning. And we recently got a nice grant from a foundation that's in California, actually, for our Summer Institute for Teachers. And so we are always looking for those kind of foundations and corporations who are forward-thinking and who can see the validity and the value in the work that we're doing in education.
And how do they reach you directly, Katie?
They can go to the website that you have cited today, and we have all of our contact information there. They can also send inquiries to our P.O. Box, which I can give you. It's P.O. Box 412, Chappaqua, C-H-A-P-P-A-Q-U-A, New York, 10514. And our
Students
email,
for a Sustainable Future. You can check out the expo, Children's Environmental Literacy Foundation, CELFoundation.org. And to use Scott Beal's word, if you are a steward of industry, a business, a corporation, a group that would like to make a difference, this is a very worthwhile group to support.
Right.
Children's Environmental Literacy Foundation.org.
Yeah, can I add one brief note here, Jesse?
I will let you add one brief note, but only because you asked politely.
Yes, I've learned that. Is that our program of Do Right Enterprises as a youth action leadership program is operational and available to anyone who might want to have information about it, and they can find that through the SELF site. It's a fabulous program that can be really designed for implementation in any urban area or community through the country.
Katie and Scott, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
And kudos to both of you and continued success. Children's Environmental Literacy Foundation, you can make a donation. You can help at CELFoundation.org. All the best, Katie and Scott. We will talk to you again soon. You are coast to coast today, dialed into The Good Life. This is Jesse Dillon. I want to thank you for dialing in. You can reach me directly at Jesse@thegoodlifeshow.com.